I'd like to start with a couple of thoughts to inspire you. And this morning's come from a book called Really Important Stuff My Dog Has Taught Me. The first one is this. This one's for me. Your body may be tired, but you can chase squirrels and leap fences in your dreams. There you go. That's a good one. And the second is, when we give cheerfully and accept gratefully, everyone is blessed. And how true that is. As always, it is so good to be with each of you today. I've truly come to see our time together celebrating the Mass as family time. You know, we're so fragmented today and so spread out and so dispersed, but this is an opportunity where we as the family or the community can come together to worship God in this wonderful place. So it's good to have you. This morning we are celebrating the feast of St. Albert the Great, for whom this wonderful parish is named. Did you know that St. Albert the Great was called the Bishop of Boots? Did you know that? Have you ever heard that? Well, that was his title when he was Bishop of Regensburg, because he was also a Dominican of the religious order, and he lived by the rule of simplicity and poverty, meaning that he walked everywhere that he went. And this diocese, that would have been quite a challenge because it was a very large diocese. So he sort of got that name taken on by him. Here's a couple of other interesting facts about St. Albert. His name has been so recognized down through the years that he is mentioned in Dante's classic, The Divine Comedy. I dare say most of you have read that. And also Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. Now, I've not seen what the quote is, but that's sort of an interesting one, isn't it? Galileo also mentions him in his notebooks 23 times. And one of his students was the spiritual heavyweight known as St. Thomas Aquinas. St. Thomas Aquinas. It was St. Thomas who wrote the great works called the Summa Theologica, which are works that are even being utilized and provide many of the foundations for the church today. And St. Albert, his writings also had a profound impact on spiritual directors like Meister Eckhart and John Taller and Blessed Henry Suso. So he had a lot of far-reaching impact. St. Albert was born in the year 1206, that's quite a while ago, to a knightly family of the court of Bollstadt in Bavaria, Germany. Now, you know, we like to say our home is our castle. Well, for St. Albert, he literally lived in a castle. So he had a little castle for a home. And in his latter teenage years, he was a very devout young man. He appealed to the Virgin Mary to help him with his studies. And guess what? She appeared to him. And she told him that he would possess unparalleled learning, but that he would lose his memory just shortly before death. Now, amazingly, but shouldn't be surprised, I suppose, both of these promises came to a realization. Regarding the latter promise, 3 years before he died, while he was in the middle of a lecture at the University of Cologne, he lost the full use of his memory, and his memory never returned like it was. He died in 1280 after living a full life in that day of 74 years. Here's something interesting. His body was exhumed 3 years after his death, and it was found to be uncorrupted. Now, this is something that that happens with saints. There are saints today, like St. Teresa of Avila, whose body, because of their calling of God, the grace of God, their body never decomposes. And so that itself is shown as a miracle of God. But 200 years later, when they exhumed him again, all that was left was a skeleton. So he didn't get that claim. But there are several saints out there that do today. So it's just another one of God's testimonies of his divine grace. Now let's spend time on the Virgin Mary's first promise to St. Albert regarding his unparalleled learning. What do we know about this person's intelligence? Well, it was far-reaching, we do know that. And I'm going to be honest with you, and don't tell anybody this, it's a little embarrassing, because I can hardly read any of his writings because they are so over my head. There are people out there that when I read them, it's like syrup, you know? It's just like, I can't understand this. It's so deep. And he is definitely one that falls into that category. And it was this intellectual prowess that he possessed that caused Pope Pius XI in 1931 to declare him a saint and a doctor of the church. Now, a doctor of the church is a very special title for only a few. As a matter of fact, in the entire history of the church, only 36 people have received that title. So that tells you a little bit about the uniqueness of being called a doctor of the church. And while he was being canonized, he was also decreed to be the patron saint of medical technicians, philosophers, scientists, and students, which shouldn't surprise us a bit. St. Albert was also a prolific writer. His body of knowledge was collected into 38 massive volumes several hundred years later. This is an interesting thing. His colleagues like to call him the walking encyclopedia. That's how intelligent he was, and that's how proficient he was in so many areas. Listen to some of the areas that he writes about in his texts: geography, psychology, physiology, chemistry, geography, botany, medicine, astronomy, theology, physics, dentistry, I don't get that one, and zoology. A lot of ologies in there, isn't there? But the point is, he was extremely intelligent and very broad-based in his understanding of knowledge. Listen to just a few of his scientific contributions. He was the one who discovered the 33rd element in the periodic table. Does anybody know what that one is? The 33rd? Well, it's arsenic, okay? He actually discovered arsenic, so he gets credit for that element being in the table. Also, he predicted a large landmass that was to the west of Europe. You got to remember, back in those days, they hadn't circled the world yet. And that place is known as where you're sitting today. It's known as the Americas. He also determined that the Milky Way was a huge assemblage of stars. And then he determined through mathematical formula. Now, that's hard to imagine without a calculator or a computer, but he took mathematical formulas and determined that the Earth was spherical. He also determined that the figures that were visible on the moon, you know, like when the moon is full, it looks different. They're not reflections, but they are literally indentations on the surface of the moon. And he provided the first description of the spinach plant in Western writing. Now, I bet Popeye the Sailor Man really appreciated reading about that, wouldn't he? His understanding was so broad that his peers eventually began to acknowledge him as Albertus Magnus. That's what he was called, meaning St. Albert the Great. Others called him the Universal Doctor, meaning that he was the doctor of everything. He was literally a walking encyclopedia. So to be sure, St. Albert was known as a great scientist in his day. But there was something that he was even more passionate about. That's hard to fathom, but it's true. And it was his relationship with God. His relationship with God. St. Albert deeply loved God. And I want to tell you this, you know, in the quotes that I always like to give at the beginning of the homily, many times I've tried to find a quote out of one of St. Albert's classics, spiritual classics, like On Union with God or On Cleaving to God, but I've never been able to come up with one that you just sort of, you hear it and you grab it really fast. He's too deep. It takes time to sit down and reflect upon what he's writing about when he says things about God. So that's why I never mentioned St. Albert in the quotes. Because of his ability, he had great ability. I mean, loving the sciences and loving God, because of this great ability with his two great passions of God and science. See, St. Albert believed that those two could peacefully coexist. And that's exactly why his notoriety is returning today. You know, different periods in history, different saints sort of rise to the top, because whatever they were focusing on in their time has become a need in our time as well. And that definitely applies to today. Today, many people believe that science is an adversary of God. They just don't mix. Now, here's a very concerning statistic that I read about read a couple of weeks ago. Listen to this. This is concerning. 1/3 of young Catholics leaving the faith say the principal reason they leave the faith is because they could not reconcile, they cannot make compatible God and science. And they pick science. Now, I am convinced of this. I thought about that. If St. Albert read this study and you told him that God and science were at war with each other, his facial expression would be one of, I'm perplexed. How could they not be one? How could such thinking to him would be considered irrational? And it just wouldn't make any sense. Now, let me offer you a couple of suggestions as to why St. Albert would feel that way and why he would say that God and science, in studying his life, they're very compatible with each other. First would be his apparition. You go back to the vision he had of Mary as an older teenager. See, Mary told him something. He told him that a human knowledge would never draw him away from God, but it would always draw him towards God. He had nothing to be concerned about there. And the second thing is this. St. Albert believed this. He believed that the author of creation and the author of the scriptures are the one and the same God. They're the same person. So God is not, you know, if there's one thing about God, it's consistency. So God would not be at odds with himself, but he would be consistent all across the board as creator of everything, right? And Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI wrote this. He said, all creation speaks of God. Everything does. And the tiniest piece of scientific knowledge tells us something about God. In other words, science is a means to God, who is the end. Science is not the end. Science is a means to God, which is the end. And that's one of the reasons that I'm very happy that I've got a degree in mechanical engineering, a master's in business, and 2 master's degrees in theology. Because I've learned, I can see how that God and science are not in competition with each other, but they complement each other. I can see God in a nuclear engineering course that I took when we were talking about uranium atoms coming to critical mass. I can see God in that. And I can also see God in a course that I took at St. Meinrad on the Gospels. I see God in both of those things. I really liked how another saint penned this peaceful coexistence between God and science. I want you to listen to this verse and see if you can figure out who it is. It goes like this. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and all creation is shouting for joy. Come dance in the forest, come play in the field, and sing to the glory of God. Do you see the connection there between creation and praising God? Do you see that connection? Do you recognize who it is? Well, some of you do, I'm sure. It's St. Francis of Assisi, and it's his work called The Canticle of the Sun. It's a good one. Now, this complementary action of science and God is why we need to renew our relationship with God today. This is why St. Albert is so relevant in our world today and will become even more so down the road. Because here's what's happening in our world today. If we believe that God doesn't exist, if we believe that God doesn't care, if we believe that God is incapable of having a relationship with us, then science is subordinated. Since there's this big void here that St. Albert was able to see, we take God out of the equation, then science becomes subordinated to things like economic power, political power, social power. See, I wonder this, sometimes I think about this. If science directed us to God, as St. Albert saw that it did, instead of science increasing our economic power, and we were to take all of our scientific discoveries and apply them to feeding the millions of the billions of people on Earth, because we are told that the technology exists to do that today, wouldn't that be a better thing? Wouldn't that be better than knowing that millions of children die from lack of food each year? Well, I think so. Absolutely so. See, when you disconnect God from science, it's like severing the head from the body. It makes a mess. Yet that's the direction that we're taking today. Let me ask you, this is a very pointed question. How can you teach science but not mention God's name? Boy, that just tears the whole thing apart, doesn't it? Science becomes the end and not the means. So I'd like to leave you with two thoughts for reflection this morning. The message hashtag is Bishop of Boots. I don't think I'll ever forget that. Thank God for St. Albert, for the example that St. Albert the Great gives you in your life, and model it. And the second thing is this: reflect upon how science complements our ability to see just how awesome God is. St. Albert the Great. All right, pray for us. Yes.